Ma poi sai.
You'll have to be careful over there.
We're preparing now ourselves for the Yom HaDin. And I want to actually talk to you about Rosh Hashanah, maybe from a different aspect. The ideas are based on what I heard, B'Shem HaRav Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, of what Rosh Hashanah is about. As we know, Rosh Hashanah has many names. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, Yom Teruah, Yom HaKeseh. I want to talk about Yom HaDin. I'm going to ask a few questions, which require clarification. If Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, it's a Yom HaDin about what? Obviously the past. What's been gone of, what we've been doing in the past. Question. So why is the Yom HaDin the first day of the new year and not the last day of this year? The last day we should have had the Yom HaDin, and then we walk into the new year. Tov Shein Ayin Beis, we walk in after the din. But no, it is the first day of the new year. Another question. These are not my questions, but it gave me his oiris onto the whole concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kerachum v'chanun erech apayim v'av chesed v'emes. He wants to be moichalas. V'yoyim Hashem salachti kitvarecho. Which day is that Yom HaRachamim? Yom HaKippurim. So why is Yom HaKippurim after the Yom HaDin? The Yom HaDin should be the last day of this year, Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaKippurim should be the day before the last day, 2 days before the end. When we say to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al chet shechatonu lefanecho, oshamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, we're going to be better this year. Then the next day we should have the Yom HaDin. And now we go into the new year. And why is Yom HaKippurim 10 days after Rosh Hashanah? What we're going to learn over here is a completely different aspect of what Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah is. And we'll see the whole Seder Hayom. It's not B'mikra. You've learnt enough to know that there's no mikra, certainly in mitzvahs in the Torah. There's a posuk on Maimed Har Sinai which says these words. Va'ato, with an ayin, not with an aleph. And now, im tishmeu lekol Hashem Elokecha v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim kili kol ha'oretz. Says Rashi, what's the ato and now? He says, at the beginning, things will be tough. You're being mekabel on yourself, Torah and mitzvahs. Things that you didn't know about, but tzias mitzrayim. Shabbos, kashrus, talis, tefillin, tzitzis, tefillin, mitzvahs. At the beginning, it'll be difficult. Aval ye'orev lochem mikan ve'elech. But with time, it will become sweet. Why? Says Rashi, a very famous statement, ki kol hatchalot kashot. All beginnings are difficult. And we know all about this. Kol hatchalot kashot. I can imagine, I don't know how long you've been over here, a couple of weeks. I can imagine the first few days, it takes time to acclimatize yourself to the weather, to the language, to the mentality, Well, I've been living here for 42 years and I still haven't acclimatized myself to the mentality anyway. Things are beginning a little bit more difficult. But as time goes on, you become part of the scenery. This is something which is natural. A child goes from to grade one, first few days. The first few days, maybe his mother has to sit with him. He's crying. He finds it difficult. What do we tell them? Kol hatchalot kashot. People who make aliyah to Israel, same thing. Beginnings are difficult, but as time goes on, things get easier. This is what Rashi says. The Zohar also says, kol hatchalot kashot. And he says, why? He says, because Midas Hadin Mekatreget. There is a kitrug, an indictment of Midas Hadin. My Indian Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What's the connection? Why kol hatchalot kashot, there is a Midas Hadin? And Rabbi Dessler explains it beautifully. The way we look at our own world, the way that we react in our material world, so is the Midas Hadin in our spiritual world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us the way we behave in our own material world. That will be the Midas Hadin. Let me ask you, every time, whenever we buy something, you buy an object, you buy a new car. I was with somebody some years ago, I'll never forget the way I looked at him. He bought himself a brand new car, took it out of the showroom. I was there, I drove him there to the showroom. So I went in with him when he bought the car, signed the contract, everything. What does a person do before he leaves, sits in that car, puts the key in and drives off? What's the thing that he does? You tell me. He's paid the cash, everything is paid for. What does a person do? You know what he does? He does bedikas chometz. You know what bedikas chometz is? He takes a torch, goes around the car, and he wants to see, is there a scratch on the bumper? Is there any paint coming off the car? Do the doors squeak as he opens them? He checks that car down to the last detail. And if he sees something's wrong, he'll say, sorry, sir, I'm not taking this car. Look at it. Now, if he would say, if the guy selling the car would tell him, what do you care? And they've got a little bump on the bumper. So what? Before you get to the first traffic light here in Israel, you'll end up with three bumps. What's his answer? When I buy something, I want it to be perfect. We apply Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin when you buy something new. You buy yourself a suit for Yom Tov. You pay. Before you take that suit out, you've measured, you've put the suit on, and the size is right, the color is right, everything is right. What do you check? You check the buttons. You check to make sure that there are no threads coming out of the base of the jacket. When we buy something new, we are perfectionists. We demand perfection in what we buy. I had this incident also a couple of years ago, and I'll never forget it. Where I live in Bnei Brak. A person ordered a brand new refrigerator. In those days, today, if you want to get a refrigerator up to the fourth floor, today they've got these electronic lifts outside. They put it on, it goes up. But in the good old days, those who remember, you used to get a person who would place the refrigerator on his back, put a cushion into his back, not to break vertebrae L4, L5 and L6, and start climbing up four flights of stairs. I don't know why, because I think there's a conspiracy theory between manufacturers of refrigerators and the manufacturers of elevators. The wider the latest model refrigerator is, the narrower is the entry to the elevator. It never gets in. So you always have to schlep it up. I remember over there, in the building, it's the third floor. He schleps it up three floors, 85% humidity outside, 35, 40 degrees Celsius heat. So you can imagine by the time he reaches the third floor, you can't stand in his Dalai Lama's for certain biological obvious reasons. Okay? And he places it down. Now, what does a Jewish mother do before he puts it through the front door of that apartment? Bdikas chometz. And there she was, she checked, and she noticed a bit of the paint at the back of the refrigerator had started to peel. A little bit. A millimeter, 2 millimeters. She said, take it back. I'll phone Tadiran, the company. I want a new one. She says, give her it. Mike Patlach, what do you care? It's at the back. It goes into the corner. Nobody sees it. No, I paid 4,000 shekel. I want something perfect. That's human nature. We apply Midas Hadin in our material worlds at all beginnings, whenever we begin something, whenever we start something. Says the Zohar, Kol hatchalot kashot, because midat hadin makatreget. If this is the way you look at your material world, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge your spiritual world. This is the question HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us now. We are starting a new year. It's a new beginning. We're closing up Tovshi and Ayin Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us a question. What is your plan for the future? What's your plan for the future? Rosh Hashanah is not a day of tshuva. It's a day of renewal, the beginning of a new year. That is why it is the first day of the new year. It's not just a midas, it's not just a Yom Hadin in the sense we understand it. We're being judged. It's a Yom of Midas Hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's asking us, are you starting your new year as a perfectionist? Do you want to be perfect? Are you checking every aspect of your life and saying, now I'm going to begin, I'm beginning a new life. I want to be now like a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek kekotn shenoylad. For that reason, this is a time to look at the past, look at our faults, and now look into the future and say, I want to be a changed person. I want to be perfect. I believe in the business world, in the United States, they say these famous words. Think big, you'll be big. Think small, you stay small. Now is the time, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to think big, to be a perfectionist. Shlimus. Think big. And if you think big, maybe you'll be big. My Rebbe used to tell us, if one of the things that we are, we're all failures in, unfortunately, in speaking Lashon Hara and Rechilus and insults, you know what a person should say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I've been a failure over here. How many times chatati aviti pashati? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't make nedorim, bli neder. I'm not going to speak a word of Lashon Hara till Chanukah. At least till Chanukah.
until Hanukkah. You like it.
Come off it. But you know something? A person who makes himself, who obligates himself that till Hanukkah he won't speak Lashon Hara, maybe he'll succeed in not speaking Lashon Hara for 2 weeks. And if he succeeds for 2 weeks, he has no idea what a world he has achieved. But if he's going to say, I won't speak Lashon Hara till Sukkos, I hope till the afternoon he won't speak Lashon Hara. Think big. Something that you know you can't achieve, but at least it obligates you. Come on, you said it. So at least for 2 weeks. That's producing perfection. And it's not only that in everything. In kavon, in tefillah. Think big. This is a new beginning. It is a new beginning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you're a perfectionist in your material world. I want you now to be a perfectionist in your spiritual world. We're all sinners. We're not malachim. But at least we know we can. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in these days. That is why Chazal say, Chosen v'kalo, Chatan v'kala, Tachat chupatan, Mochlim lehem kol avonotehem. Yes, we know all the jokes. Why do they have mechilas avonos? Because now hell begins. Okay? So at least you have mechilas avonos. Okay, these are the jokes. But what are Chazal saying over here? Why do Chazal say, Chosen v'kala tachat chupatan, Mochlim lehem kol avonotehem. And I want you to know a yesod, which also Rav Dessler says it in other areas. There is no such concept as mechilat avonot without tshuva. Period. There is no such concept as mechilat avonot without tshuva. If I have to do tshuva, do I have to get married for this? I can do tshuva every day. What is it that, why something special by chatan v'kala, tachat chupatan, mochlim lehem kol avonotehem? The answer is because the day of a person's marriage, he's closing shop of the past and he's starting a new beginning. Grab the moment! It's a beautiful moment. You're leaving home. Till now you're going to be you were a bocher, living at home with your parents. You're now taking your wife. And in Yetz Hashem, the moment you say, Hari at Mekudeshes Li, your whole status has changed. It's a new beginning. Grab the moment. Look at the past. And say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's close shop about the past. I'm starting a new life. I want to feel like a newborn. It's not easy to do that on a simple Monday morning. Because Monday was like Sunday, and Monday will be like Tuesday. But there are moments in one's life where one has a momentous change. That momentous change, use it! I remember, I like telling the story, that I went to a wedding in Bnei Brak, in a very famous wedding hall, Vakshal. The chuppah was outside. I was standing by the side, and a very secular young man stood next to me. The chosan stood under the chuppah. The chosan arrived, stood under the chuppah. 2-3 minutes later, the kala arrived. He was standing over there. He was davening, tears rolling down his cheeks. And he had a piece of paper. On that are names that they ask chasanim and kalas to pray for, people who are sick and things like that. and he was doing this, and he was crying. This very secular person, his elbow dug into my ribs, like this. And he says to me, I said to him, Mayesh, what do you want? He says, tell me, do you religious Jews still force people to get married with people they don't want to marry? I said to him, why do you think this? He said, look, the boy over there is crying. He doesn't want to get married. Now, what am I going to explain to him? What am I going to tell him? But that boy, he's grabbing the moment. And that is why, because there's such a momentous change in his life. From yesterday till today, I'm going to start a new beginning. That's when he does tshuva. Grab the moment. It's such simple moments to grab. You can do it. That's the Chazal say, Moichlim kol avonoseihem. The color arrives. She's doing exactly the same. Maybe that's the reason why she's wearing a veil. So when she cries, nobody will see the mascara dripping down from her eyes. These are people who grab the moment. And the Zohar is saying, but there are people who will be standing under that chuppah. And when they do, what are they doing over there? Looking around, going, hi, ooh, to friends, mazel tov, thank you, Ken. It can wait for 2 minutes. You have to do it now. You have a beautiful moment to change yourself and reborn. You could be reborn. And now's the time to go high and he and who? The kitug. You didn't grab the moment. You would do that with a car, with the refrigerator, with your clothing. This is what the Zohar is saying, kol hatchalot kashot. You could have grabbed that moment. Now is the time. Every person, every one of us, privately, look back into your past. Ask yourself the question, where have I been a failure? Where have been I a failure? And say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're starting a new year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to try and do my best. That's almost being apologetic. I'm going for it. This is something I will not do again. I'm coming to a grinding halt, a new beginning. This is what's demanded of us in these days. It's a yom of midas hadin. How long it'll last, it doesn't matter. But the very fact that you said to yourself, this is not going to happen again. Somehow to yourself, you feel it obligates you. Come on. A week, 2 weeks. And if you do it, you have no idea what oilomois we have changed. Oilomois. It's in every area. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. The truth is, as Rashi says, kol yoim v'yoim shiyu beinecha kachadoshi. It should happen almost every day. Feel the hischatshus, the renewal, when you get out of bed in the morning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, I'm alive. Moida ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayom. Shechazalta bi nishmati v'chemla rabba emunatecha. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel reborn. And when I feel reborn, it obligates me. But we're not angels. If it happens 365 times a year, and 20 years have gone by, hergel, the thing, repetitiveness, destroys. We have to break it as best as we can. It doesn't work. But at least 12 times a year, Rosh Chodesh. It's called Rosh Chodesh. It's not called Chodesh Chadash, a new month. Why is it called Chodesh? Because it is a Chidush. It's a renewal. And because it is a renewal, really and truly, 12 times a year, we should feel what we are feeling on Rosh Hashanah. And that is why it's a minig. I don't know if you have the minig over here, that Erev Rosh Chodesh, we have what? Special tefillas in Mincha. What's it called? Yom Kippur Kol. And when you go through the tefillas of Yom Kippur Kol, have a list, read the vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. Mehagaonim. His vidui, that he's misvade. What a vidui. Go through those words, what he writes. He wants to have a new beginning. Yes, he grabs every Chodesh. For that reason, the Yom Kippur Cotton Tefillahs is a wake-up call. A new Chodesh is beginning in a few hours. A new beginning. Change yourself. Grow spiritually. Make demands of yourself. Hold on to them. It's only for 30 days. This is what is being demanded. But again, even things which happen 12 times a year, we get used to it. But one thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Meichelas. Once a year, Rosh Hashanah. And here he makes demands. That on Rosh Hashanah, you have an opportunity to make that phenomenal change. That is why it's called Rosh Hashanah. We don't call this year, you know, how do you call New January the 1st? New Year's Day. Yom Shana Chadasha. It's New Year's Day, finished. What's the difference between December the 31st and January the 2nd? Absolutely nothing. Except January the 1st, people don't go to work. That's all. Take a day off. To us, it is Rosh Hashanah, the head of change. What? What did I say? The head of change, yes. What does the word Shana mean? How do you say change in Hebrew? Shinui. It is the head of change. Create on Rosh Hashanah a healthy head. If the head is healthy, it will control the body. The body's going to get banged over here and over here during the year, chet after chet. We're not malachim, we're not angels. But at least if the head is healthy, there's a chance it'll control the body. What would you say about a person who gets out of his car, he forgot his right leg in the car when he closed the door. He left his right leg inside and closed the door. That's one person. But there's another person. I know of a child with this. A child where there is a short circuit between the brain and her body. She does not feel pain. Imagine. A person doesn't feel pain. In fact, she, to the point where she pulled out one of her own eyes from her socket without feeling any pain. Can you imagine a person who doesn't feel pain, gets in the car, forgets his right leg in the car as he gets out, closes the door, and he says, "Oi, I forgot my right leg." Tell me, who would you say is the better one off? The one who is in agony or the one who isn't in agony? Obviously, the one's in agony. At least one thing, he has a healthy head. The other one, the body might be healthy, the head is destroyed. Rosh Hashanah is a rosh.
It's a head.
Build a healthy head. This is the time of a personal cheshbon hanefesh. That we look into the past. We see where we've made mistakes. Where we see we could be better. And when you have that, when you could be better, you're being makabel upon yourself. These are the kabbalot that you make on Rosh Hashanah. Go for it. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. You and I know, is there a mitzvah of tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? When is the mitzvah of tshuva? V'shafto. Yom HaKippurim. Not Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is looking into the future. That is why it is not the last day of this year. It is the first day of the new year. Now we come to a period called Aseres Yemei Tshuva. How many people take these days and make out of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you know, it's a time, as they say, to take a breather. You know, the pressure of the tefillahs and the tkiyas and the pressures of Rosh Hashanah, and you come to Motzi Rosh Hashanah, and now you've got about 6, 7, 8 days before Erev Yom Kippur, and you think, wow, now we take a breather. Business as usual. And as we come closer to Erev Yom HaKippurim, this year it'll be Erev Shabbos, then again, there's a build-up. But the 4 or 5 days beforehand, business as usual. No. What does Shulchan Aruch say? We have to do on Rosh Hashanah, on Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It says in Halacha, we should be more makpid on the food that we eat. Be more makpid in Shmiras HaShabbos. To be more makpid in mitzvahs. What's the idea? Are we just playing a game over here? It's an act. No. You know what they're saying? On Rosh Hashanah, you made a plan for the future. Correct? You looked into the future and you say, I'm today reborn. I look back at my past and I think, Gewalt, what did I do? I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a better person. In Lashon Hora, in Kavon, in Tefillah, we'll soon see a few ideas. I'm going to be a better one. You know what the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is? The testing ground. Let's see you. Let's see you go into action. Let's see that you're taking what you did on Rosh Hashanah. Take life seriously. Let's see. And that's why it's in these days. It's in these days that we have a chance to grow spiritually. Now's the testing ground. As I said, if a person makes a cheshbon, I was such a sinner in Lashon Hora and Rechilas, and I've insulted people. During the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, I'm going to show I can do it. And you know what that is? Stop. Be silent. Somebody did something to you and you feel, hold back. You did it. Do you know what you feel? I can do it. I didn't have a heart attack. I can learn to be silent. Take the insult. So he insulted me. Big deal. That's a testing ground. You can do it. And that's why this is a time. Gentlemen, this is in a time when we should be makbid to do little things. And I want you to know, with little things you have no idea. You have no idea the worlds that we are creating for ourselves. Spiritual worlds. In little things. I'm certain you all know the famous story. But that story made such a roshim on me when I heard it for the first time. The famous story about the wife of the Vilna Goyim. Those who know, I apologize for taking up your time, but those of you who haven't heard, listen to this. The wife of the Vilna Goyen had a friend. And they used to go every day knocking on doors to raise money for charity. But they had an agreement between themselves. Whoever dies first will appear to the other in a dream and tell the other what's going on in that world. One day, they were going, that was the agreement they had between themselves. One day they were in town knocking on doors, raising money for charity. They knocked on the door. No answer. He isn't in. So they went to the next address. As they went to the next address, they went through the market. As they went through the market, the wife of the Vilna Goyen says she sees the person from that closed door. So she says to her friend, "Oi, there he is! Let's go and ask him." They went up to ask. They went to ask, and he gave what he gave. End of story. That's the whole story. A simple, insignificant few moments in the life of a person who lives 90 years. The wife of the Vilna Goyen died first. And she kept her promise. She appeared in a chalom to her friend. And she said to the friend, "We had an agreement that I will tell you what's going on in the next world." And she said, "I apologize to you, but I'm not allowed to tell you." End of dream. But it wasn't the end of the dream. But she said, "Do you remember that day, years ago, when we went to the market and I saw this person and we knocked on the door, he wasn't there, and then we saw him in the market and this Moshe Le..." I said, I did what I did. He said, she remembered. In the dream she remembered. Yeah. She said, "I want you to know that in Gan Eden, I'm getting Schar Mitzvah." You know, for what? For pointing my finger and saying, "There he is! Even this is being measured in Gan Eden." Today they say pointing with a finger is not being very polite, is it? It's not nice to fight. But her pointing of the finger, "Oi, there he is, let's go and speak to him." She did something which was natural. Even the lifting up of the arm, the pointing of the finger is measured in Gan Eden. Can you imagine what it is? What they're measuring in Gan Eden. These little things. These little things. An extra kavona in tefillah. I want to tell you something. I was reading one of our newspapers here in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a letter written by an avrech, a kollel younger man, says he got a letter from his Rebbe, and the letter from the Rebbe said to him, "I want to tell you something. Do you know she'ata osid litenes hadin? You are going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. The millions of times in your life, millions of times in your life, when you said the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, whether it be in tefillah or in a brocha or in a kapitel tilim, and you were not machaven, when you say Yud Kei Vov Kei, you weren't machaven to Adoin Hakoil Haya Hove V'yihye. You'll have to give a din v'cheshbon." I want to tell you, on the personal level, it sent a shockwave through me. It sent a shockwave. I try to do it. Whenever I say, that's why it takes me a little bit longer to say Shemoneh Esrei. Baruch atah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Makor HaBrochos. Hashem, Adoin Hakoil Hoya Hoyve Yihye. You were, are, and will be. You transcend time. Elokeinu.
To be Machab.
These days, we can prove it to ourselves.
Take a little bit more time in what we're saying.
Unfortunately, again, Hergelim, regularity, habit.
Yeah. You're taking the Petsy, got the Petsy in your ring. Bocha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Tzedakah. Okay, you've said the Bracha. But have we said the Bracha? In these days, stop little things. I say, you know what? I'm going to be machaven in my brachas a little bit.
When in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, to prove to myself, not to prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to prove to myself I am capable of that growth. And when you prove it to yourself, do you know what you're going to feel? Wow, I can do it. I'm a changed person. I'm going to try another week and another week. This is
the Yesod. I also tell you, okay, here in Shalavim you can't do it. But if you go walking around Yerushalayim in these days,
little things. Walk around. When you're walking in the streets of Yerushalayim or wherever it is,
take with you 5 shekels. 5 shekels, no big deal. $1.50.
5 shekel.
But before you go, take that 5 shekel, single them out into 5 shekels, and each shekel, single it out into 0.5 shekel. 10 pieces of 0.5 shekel.
What for?
I tell you.
You're walking around Tachana Merkazit.
There are people sitting on chairs over there with boxes or hands. They're asking help. Normally, what happens during the year, you think, he's a gunner, he needs some money. Things like that. Don't ask questions. He's asking 0.5 shekel. Give.
10 times.
Every day. Little things. If this is Gan Eden, can you imagine what 0.5 shekel to a Jew, a poor Jew, is all about? This is how we grow.
Another little thing, and this I heard from Balei Musa.
Little things. I can tell you where I live in Bnei Brak. If you walk around the streets of Bnei Brak at 8 o'clock in the morning on a normal working day,
8:15, you are going to see thousands of kids going to school, to cheder, to sem, everywhere.
It causes traffic jams. It's unbelievable.
I tell people, and maybe if you have an opportunity, open your eyes. This is spiritual growth.
You know what? How many times there are children who have been given, ordered by their parents, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds,
never cross a road without an adult. Without an adult. And I see these kids standing on the edge of the pavement.
On the edge of the sidewalk, and he's waiting if somebody can take him across the road.
People are oblivious, they're blind.
So what does he have to do? He waits that in, by chance, somebody happens and grown up is crossing the road at that point, so he stands next to the person who crosses the road with him.
I tell the people, if this is Gan Eden, the Chesed, open your eyes, little things, takes 4 seconds of your life.
Look out for such a child and say, Moshe, you want to cross the road? Give me a hand. Cross the road. Fine. Here we are proving to ourselves we want to be better.
Minuscule things, these are minuscule. I was once speaking to people about it, and one gentleman afterwards says, Rabbi, you're absolutely right, I can't argue with you, but what can I tell you the truth? I don't take kids across. You know why? I'm walking in the street, I'm speaking on my cell phone, I'm talking to people,
I just don't notice what's going on. I didn't notice. I said, yeah. I take it, obviously, you're so busy with your phone call that you wouldn't notice a $100 bill on the sidewalk either, would you? Or would you? Haha, a $100 bill you would notice. It's what you want to notice, you notice. What you don't want, you don't care, then you don't notice. Another thing which I see. People cross roads at pedestrian crossings. Very nice. Has anybody ever thought a car stops to let you cross the road? And how do people cross those roads? Like they're going on a Shabbos walk. Somebody's waiting. He also has to rush off. How many of us, as we cross the road, lift up our hands? That's all we have to do. Remember the finger of the Vilna Gaon. Lift up your hand and say, thank you for stopping to let me cross the road. And move fast. I'm not saying you're allowed to run. Running can be dangerous. But to move fast. These little things in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you can prove to yourself you can do it. These are the little changes of chesed. These type of chasodim that we saw Salanta in his Tnuah Samusa Yutza talk about. How would he say the Tnuah Samusa, how you say a bocha sitting, taking his beautiful Gemara, standing by a window, an open window. Learning over there by an open window, is he doing anything wrong? No. Yes. Be sensitive to other people's feelings. You're standing by an open window. You're blocking the wind to come and cooling down for other people. Think! This is growth. And somehow you'll feel that if you've achieved it, you're not going to say to yourself afterwards, well, I've reached Sukkos, it's all over. Whew. Now I can go back. I promise you, gentlemen, you'll be wanting to do this for the rest of your life. You feel it changes your midas, it changes your spirituality, it changes your whole attitude to Avodas Hashem, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, and only then, comes Yom HaKippurim. Now comes Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoshanu, Bagadnu, Gazamnu, Dibanu, Doif. Hevinu, Yishayu, Zadnu, Chamasnu, Tafanu, Shev. Al Chet Shechotonu, Lefanecha, Al Chet Shechotonu, please, Yibayna, Shalom, forgive me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us one simple question. Why should I forgive you? Why? Because you're Kel Lachem V'chanu.
You said that last year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say. Are you doing anything about it? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you've made a roish, you've created a new roish ahead, you're looking forward into the future, you're changing your life based on regrets of the past. Now you're changing your life. For the 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, what have you done? You've shown I can make that change. And now we ask for Slicho Mechila. Vayoy Mahashem Salachti Kitvorecha. I can see you're serious. Now we can understand. We can understand the whole series of days. Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the new year. It's all looking into the future. And then comes Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim now becomes meaningful. That Yom Kippurim becomes meaningful when you're showing we've done something about it. The interesting thing is, I want to tell you something, and that's why it's written in Sforim, why Sukkos comes immediately after Yom Kippurim. Sukkos is Man Simchaseinu. But you know what is Man Simchaseinu? When we've done Chesed, we're being more machaven in our tefillas. We're showing more respect to our parents. We're speaking less Loshon Hara. You feel you've become a ruchnistic person, a spiritual person. And you know, when you become a spiritual person, you can enjoy life. You can have simcha in this world, sitting in a sukkah. Suddenly, the physical, material world loses its great effect, what it is. I can really feel simcha sitting in a sukkah. Our priorities change because of our actions, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and Yom Kippur. I mean, if you'd have a look, if you'd have a helicopter picture of Meir Sha'orim during Sukkot, or the whole of Bnei Brak during Sukkot, a helicopter picture will make it look like a refugee camp in Gaza. That's what it looks like. Well, there's sukkahs all over the place, on the sidewalks, in the parking lots, all over the place. But it suddenly makes us feel how much simcha of spiritual growth is simcha, not the simcha of material. That you can be here, suddenly our priorities change radically from the spiritual, from the material, the physical, to a spiritual world. I could tell you, you have no idea. We have a lot of foreign workers who work where I live. Filipinos, Thailandis, Bangladeshis, blacks from the Congo, from Jamaica. You name the places, that's where they are. Do you know how many of them are so affected by seeing a Yiddish sukkah? A sukkah. That hundreds of them become Geilei Tzedek. They want to join Am Yisrael. Geilei Tzedek! I know one of them. The color of his skin is darker than this. And he comes from a tribe in the Congo. And today he has a beard, pears, Haredi, that I feel ashamed of, to stand in front of him. He saw this type of thing. It changed his life. Let it change our lives. Let us become reborn. That's what Hashem wants from us in these days. This is what, as I want to talk to you about, in fact, everything is renewal, growth. Hold on to it. You're going to love it. And you'll want to carry on. And next year, one stage further. That's how we grow through our lives. This is what Hashem wants. Gentlemen, my blessing to all of you is, first of all, Shana Tova. We should have a good year. Shnat Geula v'Yeshua, Leklal u'Leprat. And boy, do we need it for the Klal when we see what's going on in the world, how much the world loves us. But we survive history. They don't. We'll survive. Because Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Shana Tovah Mevareches, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, in this year, Tovshi and Ayin Beis Im Yatzeh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say famous last words of George W. Bush, enough is enough. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us a Shana Tovah Mevareches, Shnas Geula V'Yeshua, a Biat Goel Tzedek, B'mheir Av Yomeinu. Amen.